Lies with Sarah Schaefer is a production of WNYC Radio.
Okay, guys, know you're looking forward to this. It is time for my annual prediction of what will be the food trend of the year. Obviously, last year I correctly predicted quinoa, froyo, and kale. And I'm beginning to pride myself in getting these things right. So for 2014, my predictions for food trends, kudzu. Kudzu, as you know, is a vine, a fast-growing vine that has been destroying farmlands across America, and we're now going to be eating it in our salads. Also, acorn caps and acorn milk. The caps will be used as small vessels for tiny little delicious dishes, and you will eat the cap with it, and it adds a sort of texture to it. Acorn milk, it's definitely a more nutritious, a little bit lumpier version of almond milk, and it goes great in tea. Eat up, guys. Welcome to Lies. On each episode of Lies, we probe the mind of a fascinating public figure, leaving no stone unturned and no truth told. I'm Sarah Schaefer. Today, my guest is comedian, writer, and actress Jenny Slate. She was a featured player on Saturday Night Live, the creator and voice of Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, and has had recurring roles on many shows, including Parks and Rec and Hello Ladies. Jenny, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You look adorable today. I really like this pink, what is that, a cocktail dress?
The front is a cocktail dress and the back is just my body as it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're nude in the back.
I'm myself in the back is how I would say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Changing gears here a little bit.
Okay.
The voices you've done for animation are just so great, including your parts in The Lorax, Alvin and the Chipmunks. So when you do your voice acting and you go into the recording session.
Yeah.
What do you wear? You know, what does an actor wear when no one can see you?
Right. I think that this is a really important question. For me, I always dress as George Washington. But it's interesting because I also make them turn off all of those darn lights so that it's dark in there.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's, you know, I am George Washington, but only I know that because it's pitch black.
So you don't put on the George Washington outfit until all the lights are off and...
I go in as George.
You go in as George.
Mr. Washington, and then I just, well, I disappear, and then it's just my voice. And sometimes I get a little perverted and I take off my wig.
You are always pushing buttons.
Yeah, I am.
You're also the voice of the Green Giant.
That's
true. You know, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
I can't even do that. I mean, that was just an embarrassing.
That's why they have to employ me, because I'm the only one in America that can
what
do it.
What do you have to do to get your voice to go so low for the Green Giant work?
They have an immersion tank in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they put me in it. And then
and that gets...
I get very low, you know. And I also do the voice of Mr. Clean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's very sexual, of course.
I mean, that bald head.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
I have to mention this because I would be remiss to not bring it up. And I know that you're very private about this, but it's just, I want my listeners to know your dog has been here the whole time.
Okay. All
right. The most well-behaved dog I've ever seen.
Thank you. I did ask that you not ask that of me, but
I guess now that it's out. I wouldn't be a journalist. Everyone, I mean, the paparazzi hounds.
No pun intended.
No,
right?
No pun intended at all.
No, because this is serious.
They want to know.
Yeah.
Where you and the dog are at all times.
Mm-hmm.
If you're together, if you're not together, what does that mean? Does he look happy?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone says there's something special there. They can, you know.
Putting a label on it. I mean, you know, a lot of us need someone to hold our papers. That's number one. But a lot of us don't get to have our dog. Darn it.
You're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted, you know.
I respect you for that.
I wanted Gawker to know the dog is here.
All right.
Now, I know this is a cliche question. You know, this is a topic that's been coming up a lot lately, you know, with movies like Bridesmaids and articles coming out.
Oh,
and, you know, a lot of this stuff. Most female comedians, when they do any kind of interview, they get asked this question. And frankly, it's an old question, but I want us to be a part of the dialogue as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you... that age-old question, are men funny?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I don't think men have time to be funny because they have to make all of our rules about what we can do with our vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to tell us, you know, how good we are at things.
Yeah.
And they have to run all of the countries mm-hmm. and they have to be our lords and masters. So yeah. I don't really think that men have time to be funny.
That's a really good theory on that, you know, because sometimes it's just it's not that men aren't funny. It's just we don't see enough men on TV and in films.
That's
right.
We haven't given them the chance.
Right. And maybe we should let them have that chance. But then at the same time, you make a very good point that it's their societal role prohibits them from developing that sense of humor. It's almost in their DNA.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of accusations of, like, sexism.
Right.
You know, Comedy Central.
Yeah. Well, that's preposterous.
I know. Isn't
that's
that funny?
That's not a sexist place.
Like, the people bring up the matriarchy, and I'm like, it doesn't exist. Come
I'm
on.
Like, please.
Come on.
You know, this is what people are asking for. You know, they're asking for a TV version of Crossing Delancey. We're not going to deny them that.
No.
You know,
no.
That's what they want. And honestly, like, it's a living. That's how I feel about it. And now, you know, I think hopefully with the success of movies like The Hangover and all mm-hmm. of the Tyler Perry pieces, that now will be the time for men in comedy.
It really will.
Yeah.
An ensemble male cast.
They're strong.
I mean, Las Vegas is a perfect example.
That's
An ensemble male cast can be a viable.
But don't you think maybe with Las Vegas, the reason why they are more culturally accepted is because everybody knows that their sperms don't work anymore?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Men's bodies, I don't know, this is a new study that came out. Men's mm-hmm. bodies become unappealing and worthless after the age of 38.
Yeah. And, you know, just the number 38, men can't even say it without a lot of them wanting to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
I think it's interesting. This whole industry has popped up around, you know, men changing their bodies so that they mm-hmm. can look younger, you know, like younger boys. But you know what? That's what I want. And I can't get horny unless
they
look young.
I know. I've always said, give me that tight young penis.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Sarah. That's right.
What advice would you give to a male comic just starting out?
Calm down. Ugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Calm down. Take a joke. Mm-hmm. Be quiet. Don't say anything that makes me upset.
Definitely don't complain about gender bias.
Yeah.
Because it really, it'll make, you know, I would say be part of the girls club
That's
as
right.
much as you possibly can.
Yeah,
Act
I would too.
Like the girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we could speak openly about that because nowadays it's like, hush, hush, don't say anything offensive. You
right.
know?
It's like, how PC are we going to get?
I know. Seriously. Back to the voice acting stuff. Which do you prefer, voice acting or face acting?
Oh, I would say that I prefer face acting just because when you do face acting, you also get to do a lot of body acting.
Mm.
And that means you get to do a lot of funny stuff with your butt.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of stuff.
You like butt stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty serious mm-hmm. and we don't have enough of it. So I like that.
Who would you say today is the most accomplished butt actor?
John Leguizamo.
I mean, you knew the answer right off. You must admire his butt work.
I do. I really do.
You know what? I found his butt work to be very, very interesting in Romeo and Juliet.
I was going to say, in Butt Lerman's Romeo and Juliet, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. Because, you know, one thing I don't like about Romeo and Juliet is that it's so darn old.
Mm.
You know? And
it's so old.
What the heck are you talking about is how I feel about it. Why are you talking in poems and why don't you both just chill out and go to somewhere else together? Why'd you have to drink all of the, you know, poison?
Yeah.
Then he kills himself.
Spoiler alert. Oh, man. So, it was one of, that was such an emotional butt death.
Yeah.
I mean, it sticks with you.
I'm glad we covered that.
Tell us about some of your early show business jobs.
Well, I guess one of my earliest jobs was that, you know, I was on a lot of soap operas mm-hmm. and I said a lot of really dramatic lines.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Benjamin, don't. And Cole, how dare you?
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah.
That's, jeez.
We're all going to suffer once Jerry's will is revealed, you know, and different
Those
things.
Those are
Really,
it's like you just played your hits for me, and I wouldn't have asked because that's sort of a no-no, you know.
Yeah,
like, oh,
trashy,
you know, play Freebird or whatever. But
right.
You just totally,
and I won't play that anymore.
Jenny, thank you so much for being on Lies.
Thank you.
You can catch Jenny Slate butt acting in the television shows Butt Dynasty, Butts Motel, Law & Order SBU, Special Butts Unit, and Downton Assy.
Lies is produced by Curtis Fox and Sharon Mashihi. Our sound engineer is Bill O'Neill. Chris Bannon is the executive producer. Lies was created by Sarah Schaefer and is produced by WNYC New York and distributed by Nerdist Industries.
The audience at home is applauding right now. I can feel it.
I can feel it in my butt.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm very, you know, open in that area because of my acting.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.